Grow Haze is looking to fill their new recruitment and retention director position. Executive Director Doug Williams talks to us about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
We are we just posted a job opening for a Director of Recruitment and Retainment. Kind of a long title, but essentially when we approached the city and the county and our funding partners this year, we asked for a little bit of an increase because we want to add a position to put somebody on board that can focus on recruiting new businesses, new whether it be retail, industrial, distribution, you know, commercial. We want to up our game in that area and put a little more focus on the recruitment of new businesses to our community. And then we also want to spend more time with existing businesses, making sure we're a resource to them and make sure we retain the businesses we have, whether that be, and help them expand. If they have expansion thoughts and they want to grow, we want to have somebody that can engage with them and help them in those areas, as well as succession planning. We talk about that a lot, but mm-hmm. it's important. And we want to make sure that our local business owners have given some thought to succession and what happens when they decide they want to leave the business or if there's an untimely exit from the business. So we've got a position open. We've advertised it. We are looking for applicants, and we're going to leave that open until October 15th, at which time we will close applications and make a decision sometime in the next 2 weeks after that.
Very cool. You know, I just got to assume that a job like that, it's a specialized skill set. Do you get a lot of local applicants, or is this more, you know, national job pool that people are willing to move here for that position?
I would say more local than national, for sure, just because the ability to get it out nationally, although we have posted the job on LinkedIn, Indeed, and some other places, and then we put it out there in social media and things. But I think it'll be primarily local applicants, and that's okay. I think there's an advantage for somebody local that has a little bit of a feel for the community and an understanding as to how our community works and what our community's assets are, as opposed to somebody coming in from the outside. You know, there's always an outside point of view sometimes is really good as well. So I'm not going to rule out either one. But I think we'll probably have more local applicants than out-of-town applicants for sure.
Well, and I would imagine, too, with that, that gives a perspective that's going to be helpful going into the job. Because if you're from Kansas City, Denver, Dallas, wherever, coming into Haze and understanding our economic needs and what the community wants, not that somebody from outside the community couldn't do it or outside the region, but it adds a layer of complexity to the job, I would think.
I think it does, and I think somebody needs to understand small communities. And so somebody coming from a larger community would have a hard time understanding the limitations sometimes that a small community has, but also the culture that small communities have. And the way we look at things here might be a lot different than the way they look at it in a larger community. So I think that's something that somebody either in our community or coming from a smaller community would have a better feel for.
Yeah. You know, and it seems like in a lot of leadership positions here in the area, the organizations go that route. They try to get the local because exactly that. It's a perspective that you can't necessarily walk into.
It is, you know, as an example, when I became the director of Grow Haze, being a lifelong resident of Ellis County and knowing the majority of the elected officials, knowing people in this community for 64 years, it does make a difference. It helps you in a lot of ways. And as I said before, sometimes an outside perspective is really good too. But I think in a job like this and at a time like this, some local knowledge is worth an awful lot.
Absolutely. Now, I want to talk just a little bit before we move on about nuts and bolts. Like what a day-to-day in this position, what's that going to look like? Or are they going to be able to kind of develop it to their own tastes?
Well, you know, we'll kind of develop some of that as we go. But day-to-day, they're going to be responding to RFPs that are put out by companies that are looking to expand. They're going to become familiar with the inventory of commercial space in our community, you know, whether it be retail or commercial of some sort, lots that people can build on. Retail space that they could locate in, industrial space that they could locate in. They're going to be soliciting franchisees who maybe have other operations in other communities and are likely expansions to our community, whether it be restaurants or retail outlets of another sort. They're going to be reaching out to existing businesses, talking to them as to what their challenges are, what they need to see, and how we can help. So it'll be a busy position for sure.
Very cool. Well, I'm excited to hopefully when you get this new person in, you bring them in on the show as well.
We will definitely do that.
Very cool. Now, the other thing we want to talk about today, we're shifting gears entirely for this second part of this, but this is the bond issue over in Ellis. We've talked about the bond issue here, and of course, we talk about a lot of those things on the morning show, but they're working on it over in Ellis, and you were at that meeting. They had a meeting last Sunday, I believe, right?
They did. And it's basically exploratory at this point in time. There's the school board in Ellis and some others are exploring the possibility of attempting another bond. They've tried a couple in the last 10 years that were unsuccessful, but they have some very specific needs that they need to address. And they're trying to feel out the community as to what their feelings would be on a bond issue sometime, I believe, in 2022. And so had a meeting that was pretty well attended by community members. And overall, I believe the community recognizes that they have some needs. And so I think that this is the first step in this exploration journey that they're going down. They're going to have a few more meetings in the coming weeks and months to explore it further and in greater detail. I think they're going to actually go to the actual schools where they're going to have the meetings so people can see firsthand what some of the needs are. Schools, to me, and I actually talked a little bit at the meeting, schools, from an economic development standpoint, schools are a recruiting tool. And we talk about, you know, we said we're going to jump gears here, but in some ways we're really not, because if this person is going to be trying to recruit new business into our community, a critical factor for these people who are looking at our community are our schools. They want to know that the employees and the families that they move here are going to have quality schools to go to. And while, you know, I've said it 100 times and I'll continue to say it, we do a great job in Ellis County of teaching kids.
Great educators here.
They are. But we've done a terrible job in investing in our infrastructure in schools. And schools, in my mind, are no different than streets or sewer lines or water lines. They're critical infrastructure in a community that you have to have if you're going to be a successful community on an ongoing basis. And we have fallen behind the curve in Ellis County, particularly in Hayes, but also I think in Ellis, if you listen to some of their challenges and the fact that they haven't been able to pass a bond, they failed in, I think, 2013 and 2014. And, you know, we've got to make these investments if we expect to grow and be progressive as a community and a desirable place to live. We just have to.
I like that you used the word investment. I actually had that written down here because that's the way I would see it. You know, it does increase taxes. You got to pay for it. Somebody has to pay for it, but it's not it. Rather, I think a lot of people look at it as a bill rather than that investment piece.
Well, and it does increase taxes. There will be an economic impact without a doubt. By the same token, and I say this often too, there's an economic impact for not doing it. And that over time may be larger than the economic impact that you experience because you do it. If we are unable to recruit businesses to our community, to recruit people to our community, you know, some of these 20 million urban migrators that are leaving the metropolitan areas and can take remote jobs, when they go out looking at communities and they look, one of the things they look for are schools. You know, they're going to move someplace where they have schools. If they choose to go someplace else other than here, all of them or enough of them, you know, if enough of them don't choose here, our tax base shrinks. Our taxes go up anyway, but we don't have nice schools and that kind of thing. So it's kind of a pay me now, pay me later. We're going to pay either way. How would you choose to pay? Do you want to pay by having nice schools and a progressive, growing, robust community and economy? Or do you want to pay because our tax base is shrinking and, you know, we have less people to pay the bill? And that's not the way we want to do it.
The other piece I think people should consider is the growing cost. You know, I think about one of the spokesmen for the Hayes bond issue, when they tried to pass the first one, I was covering that 7-8 years ago, however long that goes have been, has been. But the one of the spokesmen, his argument was construction costs are going to go up. The longer we wait, the more it's going to cost us overall. And I think looking back now, especially with what we've seen in the last 2 years, that's absolutely true.
No doubt about that. You know, hindsight's always 20/20, but we will get a whole lot less for whatever amount that is spent, whether it be in Ellis or in Hayes, than we would have gotten had we passed these bonds 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was. I can remember back in the when I was in high school here, I graduated at the old Hayes High, and they were constantly going through bond issues, and the original bond that they attempted in like 1967 or 68 was a beautiful high school with a really cool swimming pool and all kinds of different things that they were going to include in it. And when they finally did pass a bond in 1978, they had gone through the inflationary 70s, and they got a whole lot less for their money. And so we will experience a little bit of the same now, but it doesn't matter. You know, we've got to do what we have to do to be a forward-thinking community. And so it's, in my mind, it's not an option. I understand it's going to be a vote, and it may not pass, but it'll be a shame because we'll have put ourselves in a really bad spot.
Did they give any sort of idea or I know they have things that they'd like to consider, but like a dollar amount kind of that they're shooting for, or are they even to that stage yet?
In Ellis?
Yeah.
They talked a little bit about the previous bonds. I think one of them was maybe $9 or $10 million. And, but the critical items they talked about were HVAC system at the grade school. It's in really bad shape. Could go any time, basically, is what they were indicating. An old boiler system. And then they talked about some classroom expansion and some window things, I think. There were a number of things that they talked about. They didn't get real specific. They're more, you know, I think they want to develop that from the community input over time as to what they think the priorities should be. But obviously heating and cooling are non-starters. I mean, that's very critical. You've got to get those systems up to date and fixed.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, like we saw this here in Hayes at Roosevelt Elementary, I think last year, when the system kind of just, it aged out. It wasn't that anybody wasn't doing their job correctly or they weren't taking care of this equipment. It's just 30, 40-year-old equipment. You know, the systems aren't even built the same way now. It's all electronic, and you can't find those parts for some of those old parts.
Right. No, we should understand that we go through renovations in our homes. You know, when our HVA systems wear out, we replace them. When we need to remodel or our bathrooms or kitchens become completely antiquated, we remodel. And in some cases, a house gets to a point where it doesn't make sense to remodel anymore. You need to tear it down and start over. And so, you know, depending on if you're talking about Hayes or Ellis, Hayes has some schools that probably don't make sense throwing money at this point in time because it costs more to fix them up than it would cost to go build a new one that would be designed properly and have a lot more flexibility than what you would get in a remodeled school. And so the old adage that if it was good enough for me when I went there, it should be good enough for the kids today, that just doesn't cut the mustard in my mind. I went to Lincoln School, in the 60s, and it's not a great school anymore. The physical plant there is just, it's not well designed to educate kids in.
Yeah, well, and now we've got everybody's got a computer or a phone, so you got the technology infrastructure as well on top of that, and you know, these buildings just weren't designed to hold not only the electricity, but that kind of internet signal.
Totally different learning environment today than what they were designed to accommodate, so we've got to make some investments, no doubt about it.
Excellent. Well, Doug, I'll tell you, we got to get over to news, but any last thoughts real quick before we go?
Well, just want to update everybody. We just finished week two of our Think Like an Entrepreneur class. It's going well. We've got about 12 or 13 participants, including James Bell.
Including me?
And
it's a great class.
And we're having a good time. And so just one of those classes that we'll hold them again. And if somebody wasn't able to get in this time, we look forward to them attending next time.